This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Tuesday Invest Talk for September 9th. I appreciate you being here. As always, we are a multimedia experience coming out of the radio and all up and down California. We're also heard live, archived on our website, investtalk.com. We archive some of the past shows, like the last 2 weeks, and we can hear it live there. And, of course, all the thousands of podcast subscribers who download us. Appreciate it. Now, here's a quiz question that most investors will get right, I'm sure. What company stock is in more investors' portfolio than any other? Now, there was a day when that answer would have been Coca-Cola or General Motors. But today, it's Apple. So today was a big day for millions of investors, right? They had the Apple confab. For months, we've all been on Apple Watch. What product are they going to introduce? And of course, there's been I've been talking about the different size phones they're going to offer and what they're going to introduce. And, of course, is anything game changer that they came out with? And today, the Apple Watch revealed an Apple Watch, right? There was a new Apple Watch that came out. Is that a game changer? That's a new product. They haven't had a new product in, what, 4 years? So it was they had a lot of new products out today. They had a pair of larger screen iPhones, an internet connected watch. The one I was excited about, the one I thought I was hoping that would come out, is the new pay system that allows users to make in-store purchases with the smart device, either the watch or the iPhone. Now the watch is called Apple Watch. It's actually the first real product for Apple, as I said, in 4+ years. They're going to charge you $349 for it, and it's not ready yet either. It's going to be ready in early 2015. And it's a, you know, near field, the RFID, radio frequency identification, near field connection. You can use it with the new iPhones, but you also can use it with the 5, the 5C, and the 5S, last year's iPhones, that new iWatch. And some of the features in the watch, sensors that can detect your pulse, count steps, you know, concerning fitness and stuff. And what else is it going to do? Well, I don't know. Is it going to be a game changer? Remember when the iPad came out? No, a lot of critics said, well, it's just a big iPhone. What good is that? Look how that caught on. Now the iWatch, you're going to hear a lot of critics. And maybe they're justified because no one really knows. I'm more excited, as I said, about the pay system. They have a deal with American Express, Visa, MasterCard, called Apple Pay. I don't know how that deal's all going to work out, but I can't see how it cannot help Apple, and I don't see how it cannot hurt PayPal. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Were you impressed when you saw these things come out today? I kind of like the bigger phones. I don't know if I'm going to get one. I have the 5S. So I don't know if I'm going to get the bigger phones, but, you know, that's going to be in competition with the other makers right there. And do you like the new glass that's on? They're using for the phone. It's not really glass. It's precious metal, sapphire glass. We'll see. We'll see how that works. It's just exciting. It is exciting. You can talk more to us live 4 to 5 every day. Between the shows, you can call as well. We're 4 to 5 live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. But between shows, you can also call and leave questions. We call it the 24-hour listener line. And it's the same number, 888-99-CHART.
I had just received a notice in the mail from my 401k that I can either withdraw it or use it for a rollover fund. And being that right now I have some bad credit in my life and I was have this lump sum of money that can either pay off my credit or use some of it with one of my public bank, out of Alameda. And I tried to to get a secured credit card to try to fix my credit, mm-hmm. and I was wondering if this might be a good time to fix my credit and start the ball all over again. I'm only 30 years old.
Well, I never, ever, ever suggest you take your IRA, 401k, and go spend it. And even spending it on trying to fix your credit, I still don't think that's a good idea. You are 30 years old. That is young. But you will be 60 before you know it, okay? And you need to keep saving for that retirement, not use the money because you have a short-term credit problem. I would not recommend it. Remember, every time you take out and spend, you're going to have to pay income tax on it. Now, depending on what income tax bracket you're in, how much income tax, and on top of that, a 10% penalty. So you're going to take 10% penalty and income tax, and I just don't think that's a wise use. Even though it's very tempting to try to fix your credit, I wouldn't use my retirement money to do it. That is money that is geared for retirement. End of story. Don't think about it any other way. You put it away for that. That's what's there. Think of it as a lockbox. You can't touch it. You shouldn't touch it. Never touch it until you retire. Too many people, you know, using it to, you know, get themselves out of trouble that they got into. Well, you got to get out of trouble in a different way than using your retirement money. That's my opinion, anyways. It's all about counterproductive market timing and fund selection. Investors chase performance. How investors beat themselves. That's going to be our main talking point today. How investors beat themselves. And I want to talk about the consumer. Too much thrift, not enough spending. Too much saving. You probably didn't hear me say that. Now, I will say it's a good thing, but it does hurt the economy, holds the economy back. We just talked about Apple, so we won't talk about that anymore unless someone asks a question. Trouble at McDonald's. Trouble. Did you see the latest numbers? We're going to talk about that. And workers are quitting faster than they ever have in 6 years. Workers are quitting at the fastest pace in 6 years. Is that good? Is that bad? Is that something we should worry about? And how about some must-know statistics about long-term care? I got some statistics I want to share with you. I think they're kind of interesting statistics. They're very enlightening, that's for sure. So we're going to talk about those things today. But, of course, you're up first. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? What do you want? As long as it's financial, we'll talk about it. The Dow was down 97 points today. The NASDAQ down 40, and the S&P down 13. Now, the market was doing okay. It was down most of the day, but the NASDAQ was up part of the day. And it gave up a lot of the steadiness. It gave up a lot of that steadiness that it was running all day long, starting at about 11 o'clock, kind of right after the Apple, discussion. Apple itself was down for the day, down a third of a point. It was up as much as 3% during the day, during that conference, but gave it all up. So the market wasn't doing so good. Interest rates rose today. Gold went up. The dollar was down a little bit. Now, the dollar's been running up for a while. So it finally hit some headwinds a little bit today, which seems like it should. And gold, because dollar has been strong, gold has been falling. And it finally, may have. What's interesting, if you look at the price of a gold and look at a chart over the last couple, 3 months, and look at the price of the dollar. The dollar skyrocketed, gold fell, but the gold fell very meekly compared to the rise in the dollar. Why is that? Remember, in dollar terms, if you're buying gold with dollars and the dollar gets stronger, wouldn't the gold go down? Shouldn't it go down kind of as much or as fast as the dollar went up, or vice versa, the dollar went down? Now, it's not always tied that way, by the way. Because there's other things influencing it. But it's just an interesting relationship that I think is enlightening a little bit. There's a new way to participate in Invest Talk. It's Invest Talk Twitter Opinion Poll. Here's the week's question. Do you believe you're taking too much risk with your retirement portfolio? Or maybe not enough? We'd love to read your answer on the program. Send it via Twitter now at InvestTalk. Yesterday, Justin went over a retirement map with one of the callers, and you know, a part of that is how much risk are you going to take during retirement and be up till your retirement years? And are you taking enough or are you taking too much? Now, if you're going to go to our Twitter account at InvestTalk, remember, sure, it's two T's. Two T's. InvestTalk is two T's. You can get your question to us now the same way, calling 888-99-CHART, or you can Twitter. The old-fashioned way, of course, is make a call at 888-99-CHART.
Let's get back now to you and your questions on InvestTalk. Are you an InvestTalk insider? There's a whole library of webinars that you can access. Breaking the Risk Barrier, Measuring and Managing Investment Risk. Sign up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Mike in San Jose. He wants to talk about GDX, gold. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I bought it at a little bit of higher price, and I'm still holding on to it. I'm not sure what's ahead. Is there any way you can look at a chart and see what do you think?
Yeah, it's right at its 200-day moving average and bounced up from it today. It dropped below it a little bit yesterday and bounced up. It looks like it was going to head down more this morning, but during the day it made all that up and then ended up being up. So this is where support is coming in, right where it is, right around $224 and 30 cents or so. It's $24.56 now. And GDX, everybody, is the ETF. GDX, seeking the performance corresponding to the New York Stock Exchange Arca Gold Miners Index. Gold miners. Okay, and they've been under pressure, as I said before, because the dollar has been going up, and that usually drives gold prices down. So now that the dollar kind of stopped going up, at least for today, we don't know if it will do tomorrow, next week, or next month, but the dollar has been rallying based on, because Europe is so weak, and they're doing QE of their own, and that made the dollar look stronger compared to other currencies. So that and the effects makes gold go the other way. So now, though, maybe we're finding support right here. I wouldn't sell it right now, Mike. I'd hold on to it. You know, if it drops below maybe $22, I would maybe get out. Maybe if you want to have a tighter stop, if it drops below about $23.50, that's about a dollar. There's a tight out there if you want to be out. Because it's going to try to hold this 200-day moving average. It's going to try to hold it. Okay?
The next level as far as going up, is there a particular...
Yeah, the resistance on the upside is pretty darn clear, right around $27.50. That's the resistance on the upside. So it needs to break that higher, then we don't know where it's going to go. Okay?
All right, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Let's talk to Oscar in San Jose. How you doing, Oscar?
Pretty good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Speaking about the iPhone and the Sapphire screen, I was wondering if you knew if GT Advanced Technologies, do you know if they're going to be the providers?
Well, I know that Apple set up a factory in Arizona, a huge one, to make the Sapphire glass or whatever you want to call it. It's kind of a precious metal thing. And that's going to be the main supplier, a factory that they set up. They're not running it. They partnered with another company, but they spent $400 or $500 million to set that factory up. And I know that's what is being used for their that factory got rolling a couple months ago to start producing the glass, and that's what they're using. I don't know about GT Advanced Tech is what you're asking about. But I'll say this. They say their earnings just announced in August that their revenue is going to go to $600 to $700 million when it was less than $200 million last year. So something's revving them up. Something is. Could be Apple. Thanks, Oscar. Appreciate the call. Gaps in the history of the company should cause you to look again. You should be just as skeptical as a prospective employer would be if there was gaps in your resume. Gaps in the history of the company. Want to talk about researching companies? Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. InvestTalk continues on this Tuesday. How to play the world's biggest brands. That's our talking point on the next InvestTalk. What's your question today? 888-99-CHART is how to get through to Steve right now.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Too much thrift. There's an article out of Barron's that I was reading. I thought it was kind of interesting. And I have been reporting that retail sales have been falling. Retail sales. Remember, and why do I talk about retail sales? Because the economy is driven by the consumer and his spending. It's 66, 70%. No one knows exactly what it is. But it's around that much that drives our economy. And if our economy doesn't continue to expand, the jobs dry up, then, you know, it's a domino effect. Stock market crashes. Anyways, consumer spending has increased at an annual rate of just 3.2% this year. And that's through July. Okay, that's the smallest gain since 2009. Remember, the market collapsed up until March 9th and then started coming back in 2009. And that's despite the fact that we've had the fastest income growth since 2011. What is the problem? People are saving more. We have a 5.7% savings rate, the highest since 2012 for the month of July. So this is what you've got: the consumers spending less of their earned money and saving more. And that is a good thing. I don't want to say it's a bad thing, but it's not a good thing for the economy. But it is a good thing for consumers, for people. I think it's a good thing. Now, because of this, economists have been ratcheting down their third quarter growth prospects, and which they now sit about 3%, which is decent. Remember, for the first 6 months of this year, our economy grew at maybe 1% when you combine first and second quarter, a little less than 1%. So that's where we are. So why aren't people spending? What's the problem? Why aren't people spending? And, of course, you could say, well, there's more people getting older, need retirement, you know, the demographics are changing. You got all those things. But really, one of the problems, and probably one of the more basic problems, is people are still nervous, still worried, still upset, still concerned about the economy. They don't feel comfortable yet. Maybe we have just hit an inflection point in our spending. Maybe we have made a permanent change to spend less. Now, that probably, I'm going to say that's probably not true. I'm going to say that. Because, you know, whenever someone says, oh, well, it's now different or it's changed or something's different this time, I really have a reaction of it's never really different. But we do have a lot more baby boomers, and they can't afford to have another big down spike in stock prices or a big down spike in their housing values because they're retiring in droves. So there might be the wrinkle that, you know, the next generation has to step up. The next couple of generations have to step up because the baby boomers are going to spend money differently. You drive the discussion with your questions. We want to help fill in the blanks. You can reach us anytime a question pops into your head. 888-99-CHARGE, how to do it. And John called from Tribeca Canyon.
Yeah, I'd like to get your opinion on Freeport-McMoRan, FCX. It's been going up and going down like a yo-yo. I would really appreciate your view on this particular stock.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's a precious metal situation. Engaged in exploration of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum, mines in Indonesia, North and South America. I'll never get that word right. I'll never will. So it's going up and down based on what gold and silver is doing. And recently, the dollar's been getting stronger, and these gold and silver mines, and gold has been going down. Silver, gold, been going down. Now, the question is it time to exit? Now, Freeport pays a 3.6% dividend. Sales grew 29% last quarter, 9% the quarter before that, 30% the quarter before that, 40% the quarter before that. It's kind of hard to say, yeah, it's time to get out of it when their earnings are growing. You know, they were down. They're going to be down this year from last, probably because gold fell, you know, recently, and it's not. It's been gold has been up this year, but last year it fell all last year. So gold in 2011 was, you know, Freeport-McMoRan was almost $5 a share. Then 2012, $3.36. Then 2013, $2.72, because gold all that time was going down. And in 2014, gold is starting to stabilize. So in 2015, it's going to go back up to $2.84 a share. So I noticed that the insiders were buying in the beginning of the year and into last year. They were buying. So that's kind of interesting. Mutual funds, they've been kind of selling. There's 1,754 mutual funds involved a year ago, and today there's 1,665. So not quite, but almost 100 mutual funds exited. It's about, what, 6, 7, 8%? So that's Freeport. There's a lot of support around $31. It's $34. There's some support right where it is now at $34, and it's at $34.44. So I don't know if I would exit at this point. If you live in Northern California and been thinking about a portfolio checkup, I'll be in San Jose September 17th. I'll be in San Diego County on the 24th. And if you'd like to schedule an hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. We will work out the details.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Here's today's dose of wisdom. Investing should be more like watching paint dry or watching grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas. Paul Samuelson, is investing a little too exciting for you? Call Steve and talk about it right now. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, Ed, did you see the numbers out on McDonald's? Their monthly sales figures for August. Sales worldwide fell 3.7%. Not good for McDonald's. And it fell 14.5% in the Asian Pacific, Middle East, and African regions. You combine those regions, that's where the problem is. 14.5%. And remember, Asian suppliers, a product of McDonald's, remember the tainted meat issue in China? And now a lot of Western companies are saying China is focusing their attention on Western companies operating in China instead of their own Chinese companies, which probably is true. Still, though, you can't have tainted meat no matter what. And no one even got sick. Did you know that? No one ever got sick on anything. Now, it was a supplier of meat to McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and, you know, other chains that had the problem. Not the chains themselves, but doesn't really matter, does it? Sales have fallen. Now, my question is this an opportunity developing for McDonald's? McDonald's was selling for like $103 or so in May. Today it's at $91. Okay, so that's a better than a 10% pullback, and it fell sharply today, $1.41 to $91. But I'm not saying go out and buy McDonald's today. I wouldn't do that. I would not. Boy, if it got down to about the mid-80s, I'm looking at something that I think you may want to consider. You always look for the opportunities. Where are the opportunities? Is McDonald's? Remember, we're talking about a fast food chain that's 35,000 stores. You know, are they growing 1% to 2%? I mean, they're very small growth, but they're paying a 3.6% dividend. As that price comes down, the percent dividend goes up. And they've increased their dividend year after year after year. Looks more and more attractive. So, just a thought. You don't have to go do it, but it's just a thought. Let's talk about, let's go to Michael. Is it Michael or Michelle?
Michael.
Hi, Michael. How you doing? You want to talk about Apple?
Yeah, I want you on Tilcom Apple. Looks like all the expectation has been met. What are we going to do? Keep holding it or sell it?
Well, we own Apple, and we sold half our Apple a couple of months ago, probably, or not, maybe a third of our Apple stock, just because it was getting too heavy in our portfolio. But I still like it. I like the new products. I mean, you know, notice the stock ran up before the news, and now the news is out. Now it's not so exciting anymore. I would not be surprised if Apple gave back a little bit. It's right at $97.99 today. But I think that the new lineup of products look pretty impressive. I mean, the new iPhones are going to compete with the Galaxy and those other guys. My favorite part, though, is the Apple Pay system, that they have a partnership with American Express, Visa, and MasterCard, that you can use your iPhone and the iWatch to pay for things like a credit card. I think that might be big for Apple at some point, but no one knows. I don't know how big the watch will be. But I think it
will. Yeah, the payment system for the ecosystem is very good. But do they really make money from this system?
Oh, I think they'll make lots of money. Yes, I do. Yeah, Apple never does. I've never seen them. They've never had a history of partnering with anybody to not make money. So I guarantee you they're going to get a piece of the action on the credit card swipes from their phones. They'll get a piece of that action. You watch. Michael, appreciate the call. Thank you. But we won't know. You know, it's going to be a look. Remember when the iPad came out, all the experts poo-pooed that. So it was nothing but a big iPhone. What good is that? Who's going to use that? Look how popular that got. And same thing with the music players. No, people don't want to have music on the little thing. They wanted their CDs. No, kill the CD business. Kill it's just dead. So now the question is, will Apple do the same? And that is a big question because Steve Jobs is not there anymore. No one knows. We're going to have to wait and see. I still like the fundamentals of Apple, though. I like what the basics, the bones. They have make huge profits. They're growing their business. Not fantastic, but they're a $586 billion company. It's kind of hard to grow that fast. But the fundamentals are very strong. Time for Invest Talk Personal, about the day-to-day money decisions with lasting impacts on your finances. You know, you see a lot of advertising, 0% interest rate. Did you know 0% interest rate isn't zero? How can you pass up zero, though? It's an amazing offer. Why pay the full amount on a purchase? Why buy it and pay for it when you can finance it for 0% for 12 months? You'd be dumb not to, right? Wrong. We're really talking about deferred interest, not zero interest. Forget the zeros. When you take out a deferred interest financing loan, you're actually opening a credit card. Okay? Think in those terms, that you're not paying anything for a year. But interest is accruing on that because you did borrow the money. And that interest rate could be very steep. I'm not talking about car loans because they don't have to be, but some of the interest could be 20%+. So interest is occurring. So you bought something for $1,000. Oh, no money down, no interest payments for a year. Yeah, but you are going to have to pay interest, and that you got a year of building interest on that money that you're not paying. It's just deferred. The only way to avoid interest charges, by the way, it's just to pay for everything out of cash. Quit financing it. And if you don't have the money, then you can't afford it. It's that simple. Save the money and then buy it. So you don't have to pay for anything. It's done. It's behind you. You're done. The only thing that you can argue with me that would make sense would be property. I'm okay with property. Because, you know, it goes up in value. You can earn income from that piece of property. There's reasons that you could do it, as long as the cost isn't too much. It's a business that you're going into. And that's Invest Talk Personal, about the day-to-day money decisions that may have lasting impact on your finances. Do you have a question on this topic or any other money matter? Please get through to us right now, 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note. That will come directly to me. Just click on the Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com or at InvestTalk on Twitter.
If you'd like to catch up on Steve's market commentaries, we've saved them for you. Click on the Market Commentary blog on InvestTalk.com and select them from a long list. Right there for you on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. It's Henning from the Ukraine again. A great show, as always, listening to you on podcast. I've got a question regarding Monsanto Company, ticker symbol MON. I'm thinking of purchasing it in the next downturn, and I was wondering what your valuation might be for Monsanto Company and whether you would indeed hold it in a long-term fund, for instance, and whether you see any major growth prospects or whether it's just for the dividend. Thanks again. Great show as always. Take care. Bye-bye.
The answer is yes. Monsanto Company on the next downturn. Manufactures corn and other crop seeds and crop protection products for growers worldwide. So we all know that there's been a glut of commodities. And so, you know, that's hurt some of the profits. But Monsanto has done very well over this period of time. In a year, it went from $50 to $125. And now it's 114. The last month or so, it's starting to come down. So you want to wait for a pullback to buy it. I mean, if the economy turns down, this thing will fall. If the world economy turns down, this thing will fall because it's tied to the economic cycle. But their fundamentals look very good. You want to buy this stock when it's on sale, and when it's on sale, that's the time to buy it. And the 5-year PE ratio is 16 to 31. And 16 is not cheap. 31 is very expensive. It's at 23 right now. But it's going to make $6.03 next year after $5.21 this year per share, after $4.54 last year. So the direction is 15% plus per year increase. So on a $6 stock with a 15 PE, you're talking about $90. Okay, and what is it right now? 114. So it's a bit overpriced still. I would wait. I'd be patient. You want to buy it when it's cheap, not when it's overpriced, when it's cheap. So your answer is to your premise saying I want to buy it on the next downturn. Yeah, that'd be a good time to buy it. It should do well. What did it do in the crash? The year of 2008, the high that year was 145. The low that year was 63. 2008. In 2009, the high was 93, the low was 66. So that's what you're looking at. It's overpriced right now. A number of stocks are. And Monsanto, a good, great company, pays a 1.7% dividend, but just a bit expensive. Workers quit at the fastest monthly pace in 6 years. Is that good news or bad news? That is good news. I know it doesn't sound, that sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? That can't be good news. Workers quit at fastest pace, monthly pace in 6 years. Well, and we're talking about July. 2.52 million people quit. Why? This is why it's good news. These people quit because they're confident they can get jobs. They're confident about the job market. It's all about confidence in the labor market. And they have confidence. And more people are gaining more confidence. For instance, right now, 2.1 jobless workers are looking for each job. So a little over a 2-to-1 ratio. One job has two workers looking for one job. A year ago, it was three. Three workers looking for one job. Today's a little over two, just a tad over two, meaning that the job market looks better. What's stubborn is the labor participation rate. That doesn't look so good. Matter of fact, we're at historic lows of the amount of our labor pool actually working. So it's kind of a conundrum. Why is that? There's confidence. And and I mentioned a few weeks ago or a week ago or so, it seems like there's two kinds of jobless workers. The ones who just recently lost a job can easily find a job, or had recently quit and can find a job, like this stat is pointing out. And then there's the long-term unemployed who do not have the skills anymore for the new modern job market. Those people are really in trouble. And it seems like that's what we're looking at, because if you look at the labor participation rate, those long-term unemployed are still unemployed. It's a conundrum. The KPP Premium Newsletter is coming out Friday. It comes out every Friday. This is a quick source of investing information and perspective. It's a quick and easy read, an easy to keep informed kind of format, and gain some, you know, some good ideas on the market. You know, what's going on the market. Give you a couple ideas, stock ideas. I keep you, you know, there's a consumer section of some type or some comment about it to consumer. You can sign up for a year at a discount. Costs less than, what, $9.99, like, for a month's worth. It comes out every Friday. You don't have to sign up for a year. You can take it month to month if you want. To subscribe, just go to investtalk.com.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve. This is Katie calling from Tokyo. I hope everything's going well with you. I enjoy listening to your program and the newsletter. And I'm wondering if you could comment on John Deere. And I'm kind of curious about where you think that's going. Thank you. Bye.
Well, I think John Deere is going to have some problems in the short run. They're a very good company. The reason why I say this or suggest it, remember, they manufacture tractors, combines, cotton, sugarcane, harvesters, sprayers, mowers, backhoe loaders. And we have, they're in a cycle like everything else. There's cycles, okay? And they're in the cycle of earnings going down right now. They made $9.09 in 2013, $9.09 a share. Then this year, $8.37. Next year, $6.83. Sales fell 5% last quarter, 9% the quarter before that, up 3% the quarter before that, down 3% the quarter before that. When a year ago, sales were running around 5 to 15% growth each quarter. So sales are going down because commodity prices are projected to be less because there's less demand. Now, having said that, Deere is at a pretty low price point. But when earnings are going down, when they're going down, you know, you're going to see struggle. Now, this stock has not fallen this year. Has not. Let's see. Maybe it has. Let me go back. Yeah, it has fallen. I was looking at a weekly chart. Going back to a daily chart, the top it made in April was 94. Now it's 82. Now, it looks like that's where right around 80, 81 is where the strong support comes in for Deere. So it's getting very, very close. I think you just need to be a little bit patient. You're waiting. You want to wait. This is going to be a buying opportunity. It's like McDonald's. You want to. It looks like a buying opportunity. The company looks really solid. Is very solid. Pays a 2.9% dividend, and it's going to be very good. Just be patient. Let it fall to wherever it's going to stop falling. Why not use the last segment of the program to ask your questions? We can still get a question in before we close for the day. Call us. Call me. 888-99-CHART. I'll talk to Cherie in Fremont next. Then you.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, tracking changes in brand rankings from year to year offers insight into how well various companies are performing over time. How to play the world's biggest brands. That's our talking point for Wednesday, September 10th, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. And sign up for our premium newsletter if you like. It comes out every Friday. You can try it for a month, risk-free, just $9.99 a month. Just scroll down to the bottom of the homepage on investtalk.com.
This is Invest Talk. Steve is open to any money matter. Stop loss orders to buying on margin. 888-99-CHART is how to get your question to Steve right now.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Cherie. How you doing, Cherie?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
Okay, I have two questions. First question is about the gold. Where you think gold is at? Is it now time to start nibbling, start buying gold?
It's very close to support at, if we're looking at GLD, it's very close to support right around 120, and it's at 120.87. Bounced from the 120 intraday today and bounced up. So there's support there, and then there's another strong support about 116 or so. So it looks like, and really, Cherie, the problem gold is having is the dollar getting stronger. If you look at UUP, which is the ETF for the dollar, it's skyrocketed in the last couple of months. But gold has not collapsed because of the stronger dollar, but it has gotten weaker because of the stronger dollar. Now the question is, can the dollar continue to strengthen? And I have a feeling it's getting close to its run. So if you're going to nibble at gold, this would probably be where you want to nibble.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And I have a second question.
Sure.
Every morning on CNBC, you see futures and a fair value.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So sometimes futures are positive, fair value is negative, and sometimes futures are negative, fair value is positive. So how are they related? How they are calculated?
No, I do not know how CNBC does that. I've seen that before, and I kind of just ignore it. The futures market is what... Yeah, I don't know how they're coming up with fair value. I understand what the futures market is and how they calculate that, because that's a number everybody, it's a number that you can say this is what it is. But fair value?
Yeah, that's fairly straightforward. But
yeah.
Future value, I don't know how they calculate
fair value? What do they think fair value is? How do they calculate that? You'd have to ask them that, Cherie, because it doesn't – I saw that and I just ignore it because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm not interested in that.
Okay, Steve.
Thanks, Cherie. Right, appreciate the call. Okay, some facts, some a little about long-term care, some statistics I think I would be fun to share with you that I think are important. Cost of long-term care, the median annual cost for long-term care insurance, the average annual cost, I should say, is, and this is for a 55-year-old couple with a daily benefit of $150, 3% inflation protection. That's about $2,466, okay? Now, if you're 60, not 55, it goes up to $3,381, almost $1,000 more. Remember, this is an annual premium. Average premium increase request for approval by John Hancock for 8,600 long-term care policies in Connecticut that they got approved. Increase in premium for 2014, 46%. No, that's not a typo. 46% increase in long-term care. There were, in 2009, there was 12 estimated number of companies selling long-term care insurance policies. There was 12. Okay? And that's 2009. Number of companies selling long-term care insurance policies in 2002, 102. There's much fewer long-term care policy carriers out there. How about the cost for nursing homes? Remember, long-term care, nursing homes? $87,600 for private room nursing home care in 2014. The median annual cost is $58,000. And that was the lowest in the cheapest state was $58,000. That was Louisiana, by the way. In Manhattan, in New York, it's the highest at $164,000. So the average cost for long-term private home, nursing home, about $40,000. About $40,000. So if you have someone who's going to go into nursing home, be prepared. It's going to cost you quite a bit of money. If you're talking about assisted living, that's much cheaper than full nursing home. So So just, you know, those are some of the numbers that you just kind of plug into your mind if you're looking for, you know, that kind of service. Be cognizant of what's, you know, and, you know, Louisiana might be a place to move if you're going to the nursing home. It's cheap compared to other places. Stay away from New York City. Before we close for the hour, I invite you to try our new investment risk analyzer. Lots of our listeners have used it. It's really an interesting, and it only takes a couple, 3 minutes. Very simple question, nothing personal. You go to our website, investtalk.com, risk and analyzer. You can use it for free and help you learn your true tolerance for investment risk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.